Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi. Covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad, along with Robbie Falk from 24/7 Sports, give you an inside look at the Bulldogs on the field, the court, and the diamond. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk joining you on a Sunday afternoon. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate all of our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors, Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Don't forget, this Thursday, Churn and Spoon is donating a percentage of their sales to the Palmer Home as part of the Super Talk Mississippi annual Radiothon in support of the Palmer Home. So every purchase you make, money goes directly to these kids who definitely need our help. So please, if you're not already a regular Strange Brew customer, make sure Thursday you head over there and grab a drink. The money is going to a really, really good place, and you're going to get a really, really great coffee for your time. National Championship merchandise is still on the shelves and still ready to be ordered at College Corner. Go to collegecornerstore.com or just go to one of their two locations in the Jackson area. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet. They're in Flowood by the Half Shell. And pick up the shirt, the hat, the polo that you want to wear to show everybody you are a fan of the national champion, Mississippi State Bulldogs. Excuse me, Humble Taco, Starkville's newest and best Mexican restaurant. Robbie, we're making a Humble Taco run this week.
Yeah, I'm down with that. I mean, you don't have to twist my arm on any of these places.
No.
If you told me that we were going to Two Brothers, I would get up and go right now, even though I just got done with Restaurant Tyler.
Yeah. We find room. You find room. So we'll make a Humble Taco run, and you definitely should too. Next time you're in Starkville area, if you're not living up here, you definitely have to put it on your list. Starkville's newest and best Mexican restaurant, Mexican Fare with Mississippi Roots, a chef-driven Mexican menu, unique stuff, and stuff for every kind of eater in your family. So check them out over there on University Drive. That's Humble Taco. Robbie, today is the MLB draft. It actually starts tonight. The show will be up before then, so we can do a little bit of a preview here. And tonight is only the first round. I think you and I are in agreement. The only name of interest to Mississippi State fans is going to be Will Bednar. The most recent mock that I have seen had him going to the Chicago Cubs. So I'm sorry to hear that he's going to be a perennial loser from now on, in case my wife is listening. Bednar, I'm saying, 15 to 25 kind of range. That seems where everybody has him landing.
Yeah, I've seen it all over the place. I've seen anywhere from 11 to about 30, but it really feels like he's going to go in the first round. And before the College World Series, I think a lot of people were thinking late first round or in the second.
Mm-hmm.
That College World Series run really seemed to solidify the fact that he's going to be a first-round draft pick. And this is just a string of talented Mississippi State players that are going in the first round. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it before. This is legitimately the golden age of Mississippi State baseball.
Yeah.
It goes beyond just winning the national championship. You're talking about five straight super regionals. This is going to be the third straight year, I think, for a first-round draft pick, mm-hmm. if everything goes to plan, which I think has only happened mm-hmm. one other time. I think maybe in the late 90s. So, these are the talent. This is the most talent that Mississippi State's produced.
It would be four of the last 5 years, wouldn't it? Because you'd have 18, there would have been none. But Rooker the year before that.
So. But three straight would be Ethan Small, Jordan Westberg, and
five of the last 6 years. Dakota Hudson.
Dakota Hudson, that's correct. And 2016?
2016, yeah.
16, Hudson, 17, Rooker.
Yeah.
19, Ethan Small, Westberg, Foskey.
I could do six out of the last eight if you want to go back to Lindgren.
That's true. I mean,
yeah.
Well, he was second round.
I can go seven of the last nine if you want to. Was he second round?
Yeah,
I thought he was one of the conditional picks at the end of the first.
I think he was second round.
All right,
you have a computer right in front of you.
You do, I do. And then,
but Chris Stratton,
and then Stratton. Yeah,
same. I mean, it's like I said. I mean, this is the golden age of Mississippi State, and we'll talk a little bit more about what I wrote yesterday, which it kind of goes hand in hand with what we're talking about, but. Just another guy to
second
add.
Round, you're correct.
Another guy to add to the outfield wall mm-hmm. if it goes through. And I think a lot of credit goes to this pitching staff for developing him a little bit, but also to Will for trusting that he could better himself by coming to college. He was a guy that was borderline top five, the top 10 rounds, I think, coming out of high school. Very talented guy, but he realized that he could come to school, had just 2 years that he had to go to school because of his age, and realized that he could make a lot more money, and he's cashing in.
I want to make a quick change. The projected order for or the projected pick for Bednar, let's say 14 through 25 instead of 15.
Okay.
So if the Giants pick 14th.
You would gladly take
him. I would take Will Bednar in a New York second.
Well, speaking of New York, I saw him projected to the Yankees in one thing. I wouldn't mind that at all.
Nobody is shooting down the idea of Will Bednar. And then, you know, then that's when the games really start to begin for Mississippi State, specifically for the recruits. Let's talk a little bit about your article before we get into that. You did some deep dive research into all of the guys Mississippi State has recruited, have come to college and then been drafted, or, you know, were committed to Mississippi State and decided to skip out on that. Just sort of to detail your findings for us.
But please go read this article because it took me 5 hours to compile.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very straining. So please go read it for just that purpose. But honestly, it's a really interesting article. And there's a few guys that I left out from Mississippi State's perspective. But you kind of get the point when you roll through that thing. Basically, 25 players have bypassed Mississippi State and decided to go pro. And that ranges from first-round picks to 40-round picks when we saw Dale Burdick go in the 40th round. And coincidentally enough, he was one of the few that made it to AAA, which is strange. But I remember talking to Nick Mingione during that draft, and I think that was 2015, if I'm not mistaken, maybe 14. And, you know, we were talking about who was going to come to school and who he felt good about. It was in the middle of that draft, and he really didn't feel good about Dale Burdick, even with him getting drafted in the 40th round. There's just some players that don't want to come to school, and you're not going to convince those guys otherwise. And in this draft, I think that's going to be a guy like Jordan McCants. I really don't see him coming to school, which would be kind of cool to see him and his brother go head-to-head for a couple
of
years.
And I'll be honest, a couple of, I think Kylie McDaniel said, and a couple other people have said that they think that McCants has a chance to end up here. So
yeah, based on what I'm hearing, I've been hearing for a couple of months, I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
But I think what Kylie's thought process is, he's probably not going to be a high draft pick, and he was thinking he's probably going to choose to come to school over that. But from what I understand, McCants just wants to go pro. And it's players like that you're just not going to convince otherwise. Bryce Hutchinson, I think that's his name, a few years ago, he just didn't want to come to school. I think he got drafted after 10 rounds. Here's one thing that you have to remember when you go into this, and we talk about this every single year. If a guy comes off the board in the top 10 rounds, there's a 98% chance that they're going to sign, because teams are not going to go after these guys and draft them and take up a draft spot
and lose money
unless they know they're going to sign these players. There's very, very rare exceptions. Gunnar Hoglund, Carter Stewart, JT Ginn. All three of those, I think, were in the same draft or around the same time. So there's very few exceptions. And the exception
that
with,
was the same draft.
Yes. There was three guys in the same draft. They're all from Mississippi schools. JT Ginn basically had a number. The Dodgers thought they were going to reach that number before actually talking to him and his family to confirm that, and they drafted Ginn with the assumption he was going to sign. But JT had a very high price tag. That's a kid that really wanted to come to school. You're talking about opposite ends of the spectrum of Jordan McCants and Dale Burdick. JT really wanted to come to school, but he was a first-round draft pick.
Mm.
So he turns that money down, and a lot of people say, well, he made the mistake of coming to school because you didn't get the return on investment. He got more money the second time around being drafted in the second round. So that kid really cashed in. But you're talking about kids like Will Bednar, Landon Sims, Jackson Fristo, Kellum Clark, that value development and the college experience over going to get that money quick. And it takes, you know, a different kind of person to jump on that money right away and start your pro career. You're bypassing all those years as a college student and getting that college experience to go ahead and start your pro career. And The numbers suggest, when I dive into this, the numbers suggest you're better off coming to school, unless you're a first-round pick or something.
Right.
Because 25 players bypassed Mississippi State to go pro. Three of them have made a major league roster.
Mm-hmm.
Conversely, Mississippi State has put 12 players in the pros mm-hmm. over the last 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the guys.
By the pros, you mean Major
League
Baseball.
In the MLB.
Right.
They have had 12 players called up to the main roster
mm-hmm.
that came from Mississippi State. And I think one of them, Brandon Woodruff, didn't improve his draft stock.
But he's become an all-star.
Yeah. So, and I mean, you can argue that he got his development in college and his numbers weren't great, but when he got into Double A, he was ready.
Let's look at it like this. If Brandon Woodruff had had four, or he was here, I think, 3 years, right? If he had had 3 years in the minors the way he had at Mississippi State, they probably cut him and just move on.
Yeah.
But by coming to Mississippi State and showing that, you know, look, he's got some tools, we can work with him, he was a little further ahead so that when he got to the minors, he could start, it started to improve for him.
Right.
Started to click for him a little bit. So, I mean, that's a really good point. It makes me wonder about a guy like Blaze Jordan. Like, are we going to be looking back on him in a few years and going, gosh, maybe he should have, you know, come to Mississippi
State? To get a chance, I remember talking to Jerry Padgett mm-hmm. in 2015. And look, things didn't work out for him, and I hate that, but it was kind of a, you know, just bad luck for him when he got Tommy John. But he wanted to come to school. He's going to be a top four round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to come to school, and he told me that teams were telling him, we would much more rather you go to college
mm-hmm.
and learn under Butch Thompson.
Yeah.
Develop under Butch Thompson. We value what Butch Thompson does as a pitching coach. We think he's going to make you a better pitcher. And that's what teams are – that's why you're starting to see college players more and more in the first round, second round. Tonight, I guarantee you see more college players drafted than high school players because that's what teams are going for. They want guys that have been in those situations. In the SEC, you're basically playing Double-A ball.
Yeah.
You're playing against guys that can recognize pitches, guys that know how to pitch, and there's just no substitute for playing 3 or 4 years.
And you're getting
years.
Top-level coaching.
Exactly. You get developed by great coaches, guys that have developed MLB pitchers, and I feel like the SEC in itself is a minor league system. Look at Ethan Small. In 2 years in the minor leagues, he's already in AAA.
He's already in AAA. He might make the playoff roster.
Yeah.
Teams value
college athletes and the development that they get. And I think that seeing – you don't get this experience that we saw in Omaha, Mississippi State. You don't get to play in front of 20,000 fans
yeah.
that hold you up on a pedestal.
Yeah.
You're playing in front of 500 people in single A. And there's no connection. This is just a different feel here.
So four guys to watch, I think, is what we've determined. James Wood, Maddox Bruns, Andrew Walling, and you mentioned Jordan McCants. Of those four, who do you expect to see in Starkville next year?
I think the highest percentage is probably Walling, just because of where major league teams see him right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, my goodness, if you get any of these four, I mean, you've won. And listen, we start hearing positive things from Mississippi State closer to the draft almost every year. I feel like this stuff, we started hearing a little bit about Blaze Jordan and possibility, and a lot of that is just agent talk to try to get teams to believe that these guys are going to come to school so they have to pay them more money. So you do have to be careful what you hear, but I am hearing some positive things about Andrew Walling, left-handed pitcher, throwing high 90s, mid to high 90s from the left side. I mean, big league stuff. Pitched at Oregon State. Went to Eastern
on that
Oklahoma.
National championship team? The one that beat Mississippi State?
I believe he was, yeah. Great stuff from the left side. I mean, if you get this guy, he's immediately a potential starter back into the bullpen type guy. He's got that kind of stuff. Maddox Bruns has a chance to be a first-round draft pick if he comes to school for a few years. He has a chance to be a first-round draft pick. You're talking about two elite left-handed pitchers with those guys. You don't get 96, 97 from the left side often, and you don't get that kind of off-speed stuff that they got too. So if you get either of those guys, it's a major win. If you get both of them, you've blown it out of the park.
Yeah.
James Wood, he didn't have a very good season, but he was playing against some great competition at IMG Academy. Mm-hmm. So he was going up against better competition than most of these kids in high school.
Right.
So you do have to take that into account. But he's got some big league stuff at the plate. I still think he goes pro, and I think McCants goes pro. The two to watch really are Walling and Maddox Bruns, and then you know a guy like Pico Khan, another lefty that's got a chance, mm-hmm. but I feel a lot better about him than the other four.
That's where State has sort of suffered in the draft. They've been able to get the power pitchers. They can't get the power bats to campus. Austin Hendrick, was Greg Pickett.
Yep.
Ronaldo Rivera. Who was the kid? Quentin Williams?
Quentin Holmes.
They can't get the big bats to campus. They don't have no problem getting the pitching. They're constantly getting 94, 95 guys. But
Lamonis, I think it was Lamonis' first year when he first came in, he had to try to keep like six guys.
Yeah.
I mean, he lost, like, he kept JT Ginn, mm-hmm. but he lost, it was either Lamonis' year or.
Well, he lost
year
Carter
before.
Stewart, obviously.
But that year they lost Bryce Bush, yeah. Jeremiah Jackson, Quentin Holmes, like
all. The kid from Smithville in that group?
Jared Johnson.
Yeah.
He might have been the year after, I can't remember. But yeah. there's guys that they've just been borderline. I think that's about to start shifting. I think they're about to start getting even more talent to start with.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Now that they got a national championship, I mean,
should be a little easier.
Free advertising on ESPN during the College World Series of this fan base, I think that did wonders for Mississippi State. And Lamonis and Gautreau, too, are great at selling Mississippi State in the college experience.
Let's talk about the guys who are currently on the roster that could expect to hear their name called. We'll start with Tanner Allen. Tanner Allen, to me, is sort of strikes me as the quintessential great college player, but what does he do in the pros? Sort of, you know, not the same guy, but like a Tim Tebow kind of guy. Great college football player, but what does he do in the pros? National player there, you would think, you know, the accolades and the stats make you think this guy should be a first-round pick. In reality, he's probably a day three guy.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, what is that? Is that 5 through 20 at that point?
11.
Oh, they go 2 through 10 on day 2?
Yeah.
Okay.
11 through.
Yeah, so probably in that range.
I mean, 11 through 4. What is 20 this year, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he could 7th, 8th, 9th round kind of guy. Could be. But that's where I feel pretty comfortable with him.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see those borderline guys. What do they do? You know, Tanner Allen's going to be a top 10 guy. I think he'll be a top 5 round.
Oh, top 5, okay.
Yeah, I really think he'll be get day 2. Rowdy, I mean, what happens with him? I'm interested to see where Houston Harding goes, if he goes. If he doesn't get drafted, I fully expect him to be back. So, I mean,
surely somebody in the top 20 rounds is going to take him.
You would think, but I mean, Elijah McNamee didn't get taken in the top 40.
You're not wrong, but left-handed pitching is just so valuable.
It is, but I mean, he's not. What does he do that's great?
No, you're right. You're wrong.
To me, his value is he's just a bulldog. He's just going to bear down.
Locate.
Yeah, he's pretty good at location. He's got a pretty good breaking ball. He's throwing 89. You know, nothing special. But selfishly, I would love to see him back for another year.
Well, I mean, you talk about locking up a rotation spot now. You know he's starting, and then it's just got to fight figure out the other two, and it gives you that left hander that you're concerned about. Now you mentioned Walling and Pico Khan; those guys will play in the mix. I think Cam Tuller, Chris Lamonis told us on Sports Talk Mississippi that he was originally recruited to be a starter.
He was. I mean,
so they've got,
and that's a guy they were worried about losing in the draft.
Yeah, I think Tuller was good when they used him. You know,
yeah,
I don't have a problem with him.
Well, here's the thing: you can go from not having hardly any left-handed pitching and being nervous about what you got to being loaded with left-handed pitching if things fall just right.
Yeah. Because if Walling – and Bruns is a lefty too, isn't he?
Yes, Maddox Bruns is a lefty. I mean, what if Christian McLeod decides to come back?
Well, that was my next question was going to be, you know, there's a group of guys that I would say we don't know what's going to happen. McLeod is one. Cam James is one. Luke Hancock is one. I don't see Luke Hancock going, but of that group, is there somebody that you're worried that, hey, they could make a decision to go, or do you feel pretty good about them?
I mean, I feel like those guys are going to be back. Cam James and Luke Hancock, you still have a leverage year for both of those guys, especially James.
Well, he's got
2 years because he's like Will Bednar. He's draft eligible. He could his stock can skyrocket if he comes back. I mean, he can make himself a lot of money next year.
If he plays defense, the whole year, the way he played in Omaha, he's a first-round pick.
Yes. He's got all the tools to do that.
Yeah.
And he's I think he's first or second-round pick next year if he comes back. And right now I would say fourth or fifth round if he decided to go.
Yeah.
So you're talking about the difference in, what, $500,000? I hadn't looked at the bonuses or anything like that.
Versus a couple mil.
Yeah. So it's a no-brainer for me, but I'm not in his shoes. Yeah. If he feels like he's ready, then by all means go. Luke Hancock, I don't know where he would be drafted right now.
Right.
Probably be top 10 rounds, but is he a catcher on the next level?
That's the thing. You haven't really seen enough of him as a catcher.
Yeah.
You know, he was the backup catcher this year. He DH'd a lot, and then he played first, but he's not a first baseman at the next level. So, he's sort of unlucky.
Yeah.
He's not going to get to catch a lot.
Yeah.
Logan Tanner's back next year. So,
I mean, he might have to switch to first base.
Yeah.
By the end of the year, he was very reliable
very
first baseman.
Yeah.
That's not an easy – people think that's an easy position to play. It's not. I mean –
I always think that scene in Moneyball where Brad Pitt's like, it's easy to play first base. Tell him Wash, and Wash goes, it's incredibly difficult.
I mean, it's not shortstop or second, but
– Yeah.
Look at that play that he and Scotty DeBrule made.
In the game three.
Game three.
Yeah.
That you can't
the timing of that.
You just can't understate how difficult that play was.
Exactly.
And I think in his first game playing first base, he wouldn't have been able to make that.
No, I agree. No, I agree.
But yeah, this is a very interesting draft for Mississippi State. I think they're good moving forward, no matter what happens. But you got a chance to be really special if you keep some of these guys, especially some of the guys that are borderline, you know, top 10 rounds or something. To keep the talent that they have in this class, which is already really good, to keep a couple of those top end guys would be humongous.
We'll see where it turns out. First round starts tonight at, I believe, 6 p.m. We'd expect to hear Will Bednar's name called, and then we'll sort of it's all play it by ear after that. Let's move on into the second part of the show, brought to you by our good friends over at Welcome Home Beef. So today, Robbie, I'm cooking wings today. So I met Kroger earlier. I'm going to buy some wings, and I hear a voice. Hey, I thought you were Welcome Home Beef exclusive. It's Chris Lemonis.
Yes.
So even he knows. He knows that Welcome Home Beef is, that's like, Coach, I am beefed out. I've been eating Welcome Home Beef like the last two or three weekends. I had to go another way this weekend.
My dad, Big Daddy, went to check out Welcome Home Beef yesterday.
Yeah.
And they made their first ever trip to Two Brothers.
Big Daddy. Love to hear this. Welcome Home Beef. Coach Lemonis knows, you know, it's the national champion of beef. Head over to Val's Market and grab yourself a steak, some burgers, a roast, or any of the other cuts. Don't forget, they'll cut to order. It's all fresh, cut ready when you want it. Lower prices now. Everything's better now that it's at Val's Market. It is a really great operation. And we've got markets all over the state of Mississippi. Collinsville, Corinth, Byhalia, Olive Branch, Pontotoc. If your local grocery store doesn't carry Welcome Home Beef, you need to find out why. Call Welcome Home Beef to find out how you can get those products in your market today. That number is 662-268-8148, or visit them online at absms.com. No, that's not right. WelcomeHomeBeef.com.
Get it together.
I know. Welcome Home Beef.
It just tastes good.
Two Brothers, you mentioned it. We ate dinner there Thursday night. It was fantastic. Went upstairs. I haven't been upstairs much. I always, you know.
Never been upstairs.
It's great.
It was fun.
Great. And they talk about, you know, when you get the football season and the Cotton District is packed, that's prime real estate to have one of those tables up there and be able to look out and see the big crowds. And, of course, to eat the great food that's always available at Two Brothers. You never have a bad meal there. Great food, great people, great service. Check them out today in the heart of the Cotton District. Some smoked Southern soul food at Two Brothers Smoked Meats.
And I saw Barton yesterday at Jeffrey Simmons' camp. They were catering for Jeffrey Simmons' crew. So it was.
Did you get to enjoy any of that?
I did not.
I'd say I was like, I would have shown up if I had known there was.
I wasn't going to impose. Those look like some angry men going after the the chicken wings. Tyrone Shorter was out there, had a plate full of chicken wings. I told him he did good. I mean, it looked delicious, but I didn't want to impose.
There you go. Advantage Business Systems. They'll never impose on you. They always take care of you with two different systems. They've got you taken care of with a great catalog, full of the products, the services, the technology your business needs to survive and thrive, and they back everything up with the kind of customer service you would expect from your next door neighbor. And that's what they are. They're a Mississippi business through and through, 46 years working here in the Magnolia State, helping out people just like you. Call them today and find out what they can do for you. That number is 601-362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Robbie, today is Hail State Takeover Day on the SEC Network, and I think I sum up everybody's feelings when I say, fart. I just don't understand. Now, maybe you and I have an imperfect understanding of the rights of how things work for the SEC Network. Maybe you and I don't know all that information, and that's fine. But it is a really poor lineup. And I say that, you know, no offense to, you know, all of the great athletes who play at Mississippi State. No offense. I have respect for them. But what are they doing? I mean, all of the games are from the past year. Like, why would you want to show a football game from last year? Okay, by the way, I was wrong. The LSU game is on there. But still.
That's a good game to put on there.
It is, but like Mississippi State, they have the Missouri game. Why do I want to see Davis-Wade Stadium with 10,000 people in it? I want to see a full rockin' stadium.
I'm sure I'll get a message about this from someone tomorrow.
I have my rebuttals in place. Go ahead and message me if you wish.
I want to know what are the requirements. It seems like, looking at some of these other takeovers, It seems like they want to keep it recent.
Well, that's just dumb.
People
want to see great stuff from the past. First off, the spring game is on here.
I don't want nobody to see a spring game.
Nobody wants to see the spring game the day it's played.
So I've been told by a few people that they couldn't put the baseball championships on there, so that's understandable.
So that's what we're saying. Like, I don't have an understanding of the right. I don't understand how an ESPN network can't show another ESPN network's. It's owned by the same people.
The only thing that I think might come into play there is they have like a certain amount of time where they can show these on a certain one of their networks, and maybe SEC Network is not one of those. They have to show it on ESPNU or something.
That's fine, but I don't get it.
I don't get it either. But
there's a lot of things. It's like if you came to my house, right? We have three TVs in my house. It's like me saying, okay, we can watch this on this TV and this TV, but we can't watch it on that TV though.
Yeah, I mean,
I own all the TVs. Why can't we watch it on that TV?
I don't understand it. But
doesn't
I mean,
make any sense.
Softball versus South Carolina. I mean, I'm not interested.
You cover softball a little bit. You know some.
Yeah.
What's interesting about that game? What happened in that game?
It was the start of their streak.
Okay.
But I would go with like the can they not show the SEC tournament game against Ole Miss?
Yeah. My guess is that you've got two games against Ole Miss on here already. They probably didn't want to do three.
I mean, what about the one of the sweeps against Georgia or
Here's
Tennessee?
The truth of this matter. No offense to Coach Ricketts and her team, but why are we throwing softball?
Well, you got to spread it out. I mean, you know how that goes.
I'm saying
Ole Miss versus MSU women's basketball, a game that they almost lost.
Yeah, nobody wants to rewatch that. Guys, the SEC Network is overthinking this so badly. Just show classic games.
Yeah, that's all I really. That's all I really want.
I mean, if you need, I want what? So we've got how many slots do we have here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We have 10 slots. We're gonna put 5 football games, 2 men's basketball games, the women's game against UConn.
Yes,
and that leaves me 2 baseball games, which are gonna be Game 2 and Game 3 of the College World Series.
I would like to see the women's game against Louisville. That was a great ball game.
That could be
in the final 4.
That's fine. One of those games.
One of the South Carolina games at home.
You can pick your women's game. You got some to pick from.
We need 99 Egg Bowl.
Yeah.
We need a classic baseball game.
I want
game.
LSU from 14.
Yeah.
I want
14 LSU game
or maybe the 13 Egg Bowl.
Yeah,
with Dak scoring towards the. I mean, that's a good game to showcase Dak.
Yeah,
I want 2017. You know, they beat LSU. They crushed LSU. You know, maybe that. You've got a lot of options here.
The SEC Network has, and I know some of this is Mississippi State's playing some of it because of what they've been told. And I'm not trying to bash anyone at Mississippi State or anything like that.
But,
I'm just saying
there's a disconnect somewhere here.
The SEC network as a whole is missing the mark on programming.
There's a disconnect between what the SEC network is saying they want to do and what people actually want to see. I would imagine, I mean, I haven't seen the Ole Miss. I haven't seen, you know, the Tennessee or the Texas. I don't care. But I imagine this is probably happening everywhere.
None of them are good.
And this is the truth. Like, all summer long, you're the SEC network. You have a catalog of every game played. And yet you constantly show spring games over and over.
They were showing spring games in the middle of regionals and super regionals in baseball.
Yeah, nobody wants to see those. They want us. If you just did every all week, if you said on Friday at 5 o'clock, we're showing classic games until Sunday at midnight, people are going to tune in. A lot more than showing whatever it is else you're showing during those times.
I think early on on these takeovers, I think they were pretty good.
The first one I remember, they had the 99 Egg Bowl. They had the 2004 basketball game at Alabama.
Yeah.
They had all these great games, and now it's turned it – well, like a couple years ago, Ole Miss just did like 10 episodes of the season.
Yeah, the whole thing was just the season.
Of different sports. Like, here's the season for the rifle team. Like, again, no, especially the rifle team. I don't want them coming after me. But
nobody
wants to see that.
So, yeah, what's the time frame? Can we not show the super regional game for Mississippi State against Notre Dame?
That's the thing. I think some people were trying to convince us that these lineups were locked in a few weeks ago. Well, and I think I brought this up last week. If Nick Saban were to just up and decide, I'm done today, call the university, I'm out, they would break in and change the programming and say, like, all right, we're sorry, Mississippi State, but we have to cover this story. You can't convince me in this day and age that it's not just simple as delete, insert, done.
Yeah, how difficult is that?
It can't be that difficult. It cannot be. I refuse to believe it is. I'll go and tell you right now, we're working in the radio industry. Like, we have stuff that's put in there.
Yeah.
It's not that difficult to change it.
And they have condensed versions of these games, too.
Yeah.
Like, the games that you're going to watch, they're going to have Dory Noakwa is going to come on there and say, due to time constraints. So, I don't know, man. They need to consult fans about what do you want to see? That's what I would do. Here is a poll. What do you want to see on the SEC Network takeover? Let's get the fans' opinion. Because this can't be good for viewership, I would think. But I mean, it's just, it seems like every year it gets more bland. As every year goes,
I'm just not a fan of it. So
I don't know who's in charge of it, and you know, I don't know who to complain about, but I'm sure we will hear from someone tomorrow, whenever they hear.
I'm sure. So we'll see how it goes. All right, tomorrow's show, not tomorrow's show, but this week, our two opponents we're looking at, SEC preview is Texas A&M, opponent preview is Vanderbilt. We'll obviously talk more about the MLB draft as it happens. We're trying to line up a few more interviews as well. Should be a fun week for us here on Thunder and Lightning. Hope you guys are along for the ride. And then next week we're at SEC Media Days. Should be a lot of fun. Guys, have a great Sunday. Back with you on Tuesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.